Well, good morning, church. It's good to see you this morning. Are y'all feeling alive and awake? Are you good? Good. Y'all look good. Good to see you. I know we're all social distance, and I know it has to be that way, but I'll tell you what, it's so good to be able to just be here, to be together. I loved watching Pastor Drew when we were just watching online, but it's much better when I get to hear the worship team in person and we get to be together. Well, as Pastor Tim said, Pastor Sam is visiting his mom, so he would be in Garden City, Kansas, which is somewhere way down there. As he says, he always says, where the deer and the antelope play. So you be praying for him that his time there is blessed. So we're going to be starting a new series. Pastor is going to be continuing it after this week, called On Purpose, Pursuing Your Purpose on Purpose. And we're just going to be kind of laying a foundation today. Pastor's going to come give us the meat and potatoes in the weeks to come. But we're just going to lay a foundation this morning for pursuing, finding and pursuing the purpose that God has for us. And so y'all remember when you were little, I presume y'all remember when you were little. Remember how you used to dream about what you wanted to be when you grow up? Did any of you want to be like a professional baseball player, football player, basketball player? I didn't get the football or basketball gene for me. So if I'd have played football, I would have scored touchdowns like crazy because nobody would be touching me. The size of those guys on the field, I can't play basketball. You know, when you're a little boy, very often you dream about, you know, the moment where you grow up and you're going to be the dude that hits the World Series winning home run. You're going to catch the Super Bowl winning touchdown or whatever. Or maybe you think, man, when I grew up, one of our sons used to want to be a Marine because he always wanted to help people. So yeah, when I grow up, I'm going to be a Marine. And of course, mom and dad are like, man, that's really honorable on the one hand. On the other hand, you know, that's tough watching your kids go out and do that. But you dream about stuff you want to do. Maybe you wanted to be a doctor. Maybe you wanted to be a lawyer. Maybe you wanted to be a nurse. Maybe you wanted to do woodwork. You want to be a carpenter, whatever it may be. When you're little, you have things that you think you want to do when you grow up. That's my purpose. That's what I want to do. When I was little, my wife's laughing at me. We're not 2 minutes into this, and my own wife has already thrown me under the bus. When I was little, you know what I wanted to be? Pastor Eric, you remember what I wanted to be? Professional bowler. Yeah. I did. Yes. So my mom was on a bowling league, and I used to go and watch her, and I bowl with her sometimes. I was really good back then. I really was. I was really good. I'm not good anymore. I only bowl once every 500 years, so I don't bowl at all very well, and I just do it for fun. So you would not know that I actually used to be very, very good at it, but that's what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a professional bowler. Just think of that, baby. You could be in the stands while I'm... And Channel 13, WZZM, used to have a television show called When I Grow Up. Does anybody remember that show, When I Grow Up? Yeah, a couple of you do. That's how long ago that show was. I think my wife is the one who said yes, probably, because she's heard me tell this story. So Channel 13 had a Saturday morning show called When I Grow Up, and you would write in a letter. If I was obviously just kids. You'd write in a letter saying, when I grow up, I want to, and you tell them what it is that you wanted to do when you grow up. And so I wrote a letter saying, I want to be a professional bowler. They took my letter, man. They said, yes, we want to do a show on you. Don't anybody contact WZZM. Just leave it. I want that archive to stay in the vault. So they took me and they paired me with a professional bowler, and he gave me pointers on how I could do that and all that stuff, you know. So I thought that when I grew up, I was going to end up being a professional bowler. Well, that was not God's purpose for me. It was fun. While it lasted, it was great. I enjoyed bowling, but I eventually, you know, okay, that's not what I'm supposed to do or be. Then as I got older, I got involved in more in ministry and got involved in music ministry. And I was good at music, so I was a musician. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed ministering in music. I used to minister in music here. Some of you may remember way back then, I thought that's what my purpose was supposed to be. And so I was ministering all over the place, got opportunity to travel all over the world and do stuff. And then I thought, this is what I should do. So I went to Evangel University, Springfield, Missouri, where I majored in music. And so I'm there majoring in music, but when you go to Evangel University, you don't just take music classes or whatever your major classes are. You also have to take Bible and theology classes. So while I'm at Evangel, majoring in music, getting my music degree, and I'm good at it. I'm getting my music degree. Meanwhile, my favorite classes were the Bible and theology classes. And you think Nimrod here would have awakened and thought, there must be something to this, why I like this so much more than even the thing that I'm majoring in. And I could, you know, I could write a research paper on music history and yada, yada. When it came to theology and all the rest of that stuff, I could whip off a paper like that. I loved the scriptures. I was in the library just going through the passages, and I still got my Bible from then and all the notes and different things that I was seeing. And you think I would have awakened that God was really pointing me in another direction, but I wasn't awakened until I graduated. It came up here, and I taught school, I taught music, and I realized very quickly that I loved being a musician, but I hated teaching music because I didn't enjoy children with noisemakers. That's God's truth. Sometimes the noisemaker was the mouth. Some of you may have been a student of mine in here, don't say a word, just let it go. But I really, that just was not my passion. But it was in that time that I married my wife. Woohoo! There's my purpose right there, baby. Married my wife, and then we began to understand that God was really moving us in a different direction. And lo and behold, here we are now. We're in ministry. This is what I was made for. This is what I'm supposed to do. But there's some people who they go through life, and even walking with Jesus, you go through life and you never figure out what your purpose is. You don't really know. Some people in the world don't even know that there really is a purpose. Maybe God really has a purpose for me to do something. There's really something beyond just getting up and going to work and living through my day and so forth. Yeah, there really is a purpose. Some people don't even know there's a purpose. Some people think there's a purpose, but maybe life's just beating them down so much. Maybe they had a childhood where they were just always constantly pushed down, beaten down, told they were never good enough, whatever the case may be. And so they think, well, you know what? Life's about as good as it's going to get. I'm not really going to step out to try to do anything else, because the voice of criticism echoes in their head so much that they think my purpose is just to kind of survive and slide through. There's really nothing more God has for me. Some people don't find their purpose because they have tried and they have failed, and they don't want to feel the sting of failure in their life anymore. There could be a number of reasons why, even walking with Jesus, we don't really find the purpose that we're made for. And this series is what we're going to talk about, is finding our purpose and living it out. And so we're going to go to a couple of passages of scripture here this morning. Because God does want you to find your purpose. The reason he wants you to find your purpose is because when you find your purpose, then he can work through you and he can touch the world through you. That's his ultimate goal. He's chosen to use people finding their purpose to touch his world. And so we're going to go to two passages of scripture this morning, Proverbs chapter 3 and Mark chapter 12. Proverbs 3 and Mark chapter 12. We're going to start in Proverbs chapter 3. And if you've read the Proverbs at all, if you're new to Scripture, you may get to the Proverbs and you might think, you know, I'm not really sure what this book is all about. It's like I read one verse and it tells me something, and then I go to the next verse and it tells me something else. It may not really be related to anything that I read before. Actually, it really is. It's called wisdom literature in the Scriptures, and the book of Proverbs is intended to give you just wise, concise sayings that are very practical, very memorable, very applicable to life. That's what Proverbs is all about. And sometimes there will be one verse and it does address an issue, and the next verse maybe will address another issue. But then there are times when you'll get a few verses in a row that are actually dealing with the same thing. That's what's happening here in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. All of these verses are really related to one another. And when God is speaking about wisdom, which is what the theme of Proverbs is, he's really talking about skill at living your life. That's what wisdom is for, skill at living your life. And the passage we're going to look at, there's really one theme that's going on, and it's full-hearted commitment. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. We're not going to read all 10 of those verses. We're going to read two verses that are very familiar to everyone in this room probably. Even if you did not grow up in church, even if you're watching online and this is the first time you've ever watched a church service, you probably have heard this verse of Scripture, these verses of Scriptures before. And we're going to read these verses, then we're going to unpack it and see what it means as it relates to finding and living our purpose. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him, and he will make your paths straight. So God wants us to find our purpose, and the purpose, a purpose is the reason for which something exists. There is a reason for you existing, and we're going to talk about that this morning. But first of all, we're going to talk about, because there's your purpose, but we're going to talk about the purpose that we all have. our primary purpose, and Proverbs chapter 3 references it. Our primary purpose. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him. In all your ways, know him. Now remember, these 10 verses are talking about complete commitment to the Lord. And so when we read this, trust in the Lord with all your heart, it's another echo of, I want you to be completely committed to me. That's what God is saying to us. So in all your ways, know him. Now, a lot of Bible translations, if you've read Proverbs chapter 3 before, almost all of your Bible translations say, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. That's the way that I memorize this scripture. But I really don't like the word acknowledge. The best word really is, in all your ways, know him. When I think of the word acknowledge, in all your ways, acknowledge him, it's like if we have a meeting, on a staff meeting, tomorrow we'll have a staff meeting, and I walk into the room, and I see Pastor Tim, I can acknowledge him, say, hey, I see you. But then I can go on my way and not say anything more to him. I may not look at him the rest of the meeting. When I think of the word acknowledge, that's what I think of. It's like, I'm gonna acknowledge you, but I'm really kind of about my thing, and I'm just gonna say hello, but I'm just gonna acknowledge you in it. What was really being talked about here is, in all your ways, know him. In all your ways, this is close companionship. In all your ways, know him. This is full-hearted commitment. See, we can be about our business. We can be doing what it is that we think we're supposed to be doing. We can be walking the path we think we're supposed to be walking. And we can acknowledge Jesus, but it's really just kind of like he's in the room, but we're really about our business. Instead, Jesus is saying, no, I have to be the central thing in your life. In all your ways, you need to have me be your close companion. And out of that, I will direct your paths. Now, Jesus spoke about this very same thing. Pastor Eric and Pastor Ken and I recently did a Wednesday night series online called the Jesus Creed, where we were in Mark chapter 12. So take your jump over there to Mark chapter 12, and we're going to start at verse 29. I was always taught that these verses were the key to all of life. They really relate to what I told you about Proverbs chapter 3. I was taught that this is the key to all of life. Scott McKnight wrote a book, calls it the Jesus Creed, which is a cooler title than just saying it's the key to all of life. But Jesus has an encounter with a Jewish religious leader, and the Jewish religious leader comes up to Jesus and says, Jesus, what are the greatest commands? What's the most important stuff? And Jesus gives him this answer in Mark chapter 12, verse 29. He says, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. That means the Lord is the utterly, completely unique Lord. There is no other God like him. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. There is no command greater than these. This is complete commitment right here. So just like Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, in all your ways, have him be your close companion, know him. Jesus is saying the most important thing you can do is to love me with everything that you've got. That's what Jesus is saying to us. So our primary purpose is to love God with everything that we got. We all share that primary purpose. That's the foundational purpose we have. And when you love God with everything that you've got, what you end up doing is you end up glorifying God. John Piper, who is a pastor in Minneapolis, somewhere over in Minnesota, John Piper has a great little quote, and I think it's very true, and it's so memorable, but so applicable. He says, God is most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him. When Jesus is my close companion, when in all my ways I'm seeking to know him, and everybody else around me sees that, that is the ultimate glorification of God. In all my ways to know him, when I am most satisfied in him, that is when God is most glorified in me. And that is the primary purpose that all of us have. So what are you doing to make this the center of your day? What are you doing to make the Jesus Creed, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength? What are you doing every day to make that the center of your day? Because that's the foundational primary purpose that all of us have. That's the foundation that needs to be in place. That's the grid everything should run through for us, that we are loving him with everything that we've got. So whoever I give influence to in my life, it's got to run through that grid. Are they going to encourage that or no? Are they going to detract from that? The music I listen to, the stuff I watch, the way I use my money, the way I spend my time, the way I'd use my recreation. Does it all run through the grid of loving God with everything I've got, him being my close companion first and foremost, Or is everything else, like the prophetic word said, is everything else vying for my time and my attention? Am I listening to all those other voices instead of the primary voice that I need to hear? We all have a primary purpose, and our first and primary purpose is to love God with everything we've got, because that is what glorifies Him. And that's the foundation for everything else that's going to happen in our lives. Everything we build on has to build on the foundation of loving God first and most. So we all have a primary purpose, but then on top of that, we all have a particular purpose. Jumping back to Proverbs chapter 3. So he says, in all your ways know him. But then when it comes to the end of verse 6, it says, he will make your paths straight. We all have a path that we're walking. We all have a particular purpose we're supposed to live. So I'm supposed to glorify God no matter what it is I'm doing. I'm supposed to love him with everything I've got. But God's made me with a particular purpose. It's probably different from the purpose that you have in particular. But we all have a path that we're walking. Derek Kidner, who is he's a British Old Testament scholar. He's with the Lord now. He says that God is guiding us. When God is writing this passage, he's saying he's guiding us to an appointed goal. You all have an appointed goal, an individual appointed goal for your life. In fact, you see this in Scripture. The people in Scripture had appointed goals in their lives as well. Jeremiah chapter 1, the prophet Jeremiah, he says, God speaking to him and says, I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. So he was appointed to a specific purpose. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he writes and he says that when I was still in my mother's womb, I was already marked out for the purpose of ministering to the Gentiles. He already had that specific, particular purpose. You have a specific, particular purpose. I think of the Old Testament prophets all the time, that their purpose was to prophesy to the nations. But it wasn't necessarily their job. Now, your job may be wrapped up in your purpose, but it might not be wrapped up in your purpose. My job relates to my purpose. But some people have jobs that they do and they love them. They're fine. That's good. They're skilled. They're talented. But their purpose might be something else that isn't a part of their job. So sometimes, yes, it relates to your job. Sometimes it doesn't necessarily connect with your job. This resource is your purpose, but your purpose is really something else. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I think of the prophets in the Old Testament. Very often they had one job, but they were really called. Their purpose was to be prophets to the nation. One of my favorite prophets is Amos, because I love what it says about Amos at the beginning of the book, that he took care of animals and he took care of fig trees. So I imagine Amos walking into the political halls of power saying, I got a prophetic word for you. And them saying, well, what do you do? Well, I take care of the animals and the trees out there. Seriously, you're come to give us a word. Amos was a powerful prophet. That was his purpose. The fig trees and the animals was not his purpose. That's just what he did. But he figured out what his particular purpose was, which was to be a prophet to Israel. So God gives us those particular purposes that we have. Sometimes they relate to our job, sometimes they don't, but that doesn't matter. If you find and when you find your purpose, that's what you are supposed to walk in. I think of the New Testament apostles too, that they had a particular purpose that they walked in. You get to the end of the book of John. I love the end of the book of John. If you remember the story of Jesus being crucified, Peter, who is always the guy with his mouth open, I love Peter because he just has attitude, and I get attitude sometimes. James and John, the sons of thunder, so to speak, I love those guys especially because they're just highly imperfect, just like I am. You get to the end of the book of John, and there's Jesus. He's walking along with Peter, and he's bringing restoration into Peter's life because Peter has denied him three times, and he's thinking, I'm done with this stuff. I failed Jesus. I'm just going to go back to fishing. And Jesus comes along, and he's like, no, Peter, I have a purpose for you. You're supposed to feed my sheep. So he's telling Peter, there's a particular purpose for you, and it doesn't matter if you failed. It doesn't matter what's been before. What matters is that I have called you, and I have a purpose for you to fulfill. And while they're walking along, Jesus says to Peter, yes, here's my purpose. I want you to feed my sheep. And by the way, when you get to the end of your life, you're going to be crucified just like I was. And if you know me and if you heard me talk about this passage of Scripture, I love Peter's response because John is walking behind them. So Peter immediately looks and says, what about him? And I'm telling you, I'd so relate to Peter in that moment. I'm just like that. So Peter's walking, because if I'm in Peter's shoes and I'm walking with Jesus and Jesus says, by the way, part of your purpose is to be crucified at the end of your life, I'm exactly going to be, what about the rest of these dudes? Because I'm thinking, Jesus, if I'm getting crucified, we all getting crucified together. John's not going to go live on the French Riviera and I'm going to be crucified. That's not what's going to happen. We're all going to be crucified, and I think it would be good if they got crucified first. That's how I would feel. So Jesus has a purpose for Peter. And Jesus says, you know what? Peter, this is your purpose, and this is the path that you're going to walk down. It's going to be smooth and great. You're going to love your calling, and there's going to be parts of it, obviously, that you're not going to enjoy as much because everybody faces challenges in life. But I've got a different purpose for John. He has what he's going to do, and what Peter doesn't know is that John is going to end his life all alone on an island, and he's going to be all by himself. And despite the fact that all the rest of the disciples gave their lives for the gospel, can you imagine the loneliness and how John must have felt being all alone on the island, thinking it would have been a little bit easier for me if I could have just walked the path just like those other guys did, because they're with Jesus now, but here I sit, the last one on an island all by myself. God says, I have a particular path for you to walk. There's an appointed goal for each one of you, and it's going to be great on the one hand, and you're going to accomplish amazing things if you will love me first and most. But it's also going to have its challenges. But you know what? I will walk with you through all of those challenges. You just lay the foundation of loving me with everything that you've got and then pursue me for what that particular purpose is. And I will bring you to the appointed goal that I have for you. I will make your path straight. See, our primary purpose is the foundation for our particular purpose, though. We've got to get the order right. Sometimes what we do is we think, I want to find that particular purpose because I want to jump immediately to that, and we don't lay the foundation of the primary purpose. We don't put God first. We don't love him with everything we've got. You cannot go for your particular purpose first. You've got to build on the foundation of the primary purpose, because if you don't, what you will end up doing is making your particular purpose your idol. You will look to find your satisfaction just in your particular purpose instead of in God himself. So you've got to build on the foundation of loving God first and most, and then you can find whatever it is your particular purpose is supposed to be. Because here's what happens. If I turn my particular purpose into my idol, if I make that the thing, I'm going to jump right to that. And maybe I'll keep Jesus in the room. Yeah, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, but it's not going to be about me loving him first. It's going to be about what I'm doing over here, whatever this looks like. If I do that and I make this my idol, then when I run into the junk like Peter did, like John did, when I run into the challenges, then everything goes down. I completely lose my joy because I've built it on the wrong foundation. I built it on this particular purpose instead of Jesus first. And on top of that, I can build my particular purpose. And our particular purpose brings us fulfillment, though. God wants us to have it. He doesn't just have for you the goal of, well, I just want you to love me, but I really don't have any fulfillment for you in life. Jesus is the one who said, I've come to give people life and to give you life to the full, to give you abundant life. He wants you to have not just your primary purpose, he wants you to have your particular purpose because it brings fulfillment to you. It doesn't fulfill you like Jesus fulfills you. It fulfills you because you have Jesus first. And then out of that, you're able to walk in the purpose he has for you, and it brings fulfillment. We're not fulfilled completely until we figure out what that purpose is. It's like people who walk around during their day and they think, you know, my job's okay, I make good money, I like it, but there's just something more. Or your head hits the pillow at night and you think, you know, I'm glad that I can do whatever it is I'm doing, but I just haven't found that one thing. There's just something more. You know, and sometimes people have really nice jobs. They've got really nice stuff. They got the nice house, the good family. Everything seems to be great, but there's just that one little thing that gnaws at you because you haven't yet found what your purpose is. God wants to give that to you because he wants you to be fulfilled in him. He wants you to be fulfilled in what he has for you to do. You might think to yourself, well, how in the world do I find that thing out? How do I do that? When I think of people when they are going to go off to college, nowadays I hear a lot of people talk about, well, maybe I should major in this. Maybe I should major in that. I'm not sure what I should do. There's all kinds of different opportunities and ways that I should go. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. God wants to give you that purpose. Pastor Sam's going to talk in the weeks ahead about how you find that purpose, but there is something that you can start today to begin to find your purpose. So at 10:30 and 12:30, Pastor Eric is going to be doing the Grow class online. It's a Zoom meeting. Listen, if you haven't found your purpose, and I don't care how long you've been in the church, I don't care if you've been around here forever. If there's that thing in you that says, I'm not really sure that I'm living my purpose, you need to be a part of the Grow Track. You need to go to the website, you need to sign up, go to the 10:31, go to the 12:31, because he's going to be talking a little bit today about your purpose and discovering it and using it. You can start today. God wants to give you your purpose because he wants you to be fulfilled. So there is a primary purpose that we all have, and there is a particular purpose that we all have as well. But what is the payoff of our purpose? What do we get out of finding our purpose? I already told you that we get fulfillment, but there's something more than just, okay, you're going to be fulfilled. There's a reason why it's so fulfilling. Mark chapter 12, we're going to jump back over to Jesus' words. Mark chapter 12, remember Jesus says, the first and greatest is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then he says something else. And the second command, because the Jewish leader said, what are the greatest commands? The first one is love God with everything you've got. The second command is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commands than these. So when Jesus says that, what is he saying to us? We know we're fulfilling our purpose by one, loving God, but by two, the impact that we have on other people. Our purpose is always ultimately outward focused. It's never just about me. If what I'm doing is just about me, it is not going to be fulfilling. It's not going to be ultimately satisfying. I may get some good stuff out of it. I may make good money. I may get notoriety. I may have some enjoyment or whatever. But listen, it's always got to be outward focused, not inward focused. The greatest people that I know, the most satisfied people that I know, are people who are living outward focused. The healthiest churches I know are always outward focused. Why do you think Pastor Sam is always having us reach out? Because the healthiest churches are not inward focused. I talk to pastors in the area very often. I'm always interested in what's going on in churches in West Michigan because I grew up here. I love this place. This is my area. And if you know West Michigan, you know that there's a church on every corner. They're all over the place. And sometimes I'll drive by churches and you kind of wonder what goes on in those churches. I wonder what the pastor's like. I wonder what their vision is. I wonder what they're doing. And then you'll see that all of a sudden there's under new management. The sign didn't say under new management, but all of a sudden there's a new church in that building. And you wonder what happened to the old church that was there. Why did they have to give up that building to someone else? I remember one time my wife was talking with a friend of hers who went to a different church here in town, and the friend said, you know what? What's really sad is if we don't change something about what we're doing, we're going to have to close our doors. And it was like really sad because it was a church that had been there for a long time, and sure enough, they ended up having to close their doors, gave it away to somebody else. There's another church. Thanks be to God, there's another church in that building. So someone's doing what they're supposed to be doing, but I say to myself, If we're only inward focused on what we're doing here and about the preacher that we like and the music that we like and church just the way that we like, and we're never outward focused, we will become a toxic body of believers, and that's when churches go under. The healthiest churches are always outward focused. They're outward focused in their communities. They're also outward focused in missions. Do you know that the churches who, statistically, the churches with the least amount of debt are the ones who give the greatest amount of money to foreign missions? It's amazing. They can be little churches, but they'll give just tons of money to foreign missions, and they always seem to have everything they need. Why? Because they have their purpose set right, and it's not just about them. They are always outward focused. You are sitting in this room because of a person, at least in part because of a person who found his purpose. How many of you remember Joe Yipma? Come on now, look at all those hands go up. I love it. If you don't know, there are a lot of you here that have never met Joe Yipma. Joe's with Jesus now, he's with the Lord. But Joe was actually in construction. He was like a master mason, man. He could lay that brick. And Joe, that's what he did for a living, and he enjoyed it, but that wasn't his purpose. So Joe goes to church here. Part of the reason why we have the Kids First Auditorium is because he was part of building that auditorium. this auditorium too. You, those of you with kids that are able to go back and forth across that bridge, soon and very soon we'll do it again. Those of you who have kids, you get to walk across that bridge because Joe Yipma helped to put that bridge in. So Joe's purpose was not just to do construction here. His purpose was to take as many trips around the world as he could to build stuff for the church, for the body of Christ, to build churches, to build buildings so people could have schools and so forth. I don't know how many missions trips he went on. It was 10, 20, 30, I thought it was 40, 50, 60, something like that. That was Joe's purpose. I went on one missions trip with Joe. Now, Joe's a little bit older than I am. So I don't know how old Joe was when he went to be with Jesus, but he must be about 40 years older than I am or whatever. I went on one trip with him. We were building a building in Temuco, Chile. And Joe would get up at just the crack of dawn. He was ready to go. I mean, he wanted to get laying that brick, and we're like, Joe, come on, dude, Jesus ain't even up yet. Let us sleep for a little bit. Stop. He loved it, and he was a blast, too. He would get up as early as he could. He'd start cracking the whip on everybody, getting us all up out of bed, getting us moving. We'd get to the work site, and he was right there on it. And the reason he was right there on it was because in his heart and mind, here's what he's thinking. I want to use what I have to expand the boundaries of the kingdom of God. I can do this stuff at home, and that's how I make my living. That's how I pay my bills. That's great. I love to do that too. But my real purpose is taking my skill and using it to expand the boundaries of the kingdom of God. When he was here, his purpose was, yeah, I'm going to work my job, but I've got a church right here that I'm a part of, and I want it to be everything that it can be. So I'm going to take the skills that I have and use my purpose to expand the boundaries of the kingdom of God. That is a purpose-driven person. That is knowing what your purpose is. And even though your job may not be totally the purpose, the job becomes the thing that resources the purpose. It becomes the thing used to accomplish the purpose. God has a purpose for you. My purpose is not to be a construction person. My wife can tell you if it's broke, get somebody else to fix it. If it needs to be built, pick up the phone and call someone to do it. That's not my purpose. But God has a purpose for me. Oh, he's got a way that he uses me. God has a purpose for you. He doesn't just want you wandering through life thinking, you know, I love Jesus, I'm going to heaven, but there's really nothing more for me on this earth. No, there is a purpose that you have. And when you look out at the culture around us and you see what's going on, the church needs to not be lost in its mission. We need to be individuals of purpose because there's a culture out there that is waiting for a purpose-driven person to impact it right where you are. There's a culture out there that's waiting for you to become all that you are supposed to be. When I think of people who need to find their purpose, I really do. I think of a lot of our young people, whether you're high school, your college age, or whatever, you're in the time of life when you're thinking, this is what I'm supposed to figure out, what I'm supposed to do. Yes, you want to figure out what you're supposed to do. The first thing you do is love God with everything that you've got. And when you do that, you open your spiritual ears to hear what his particular purpose is for you. If you will love God first and most, you'll hear what it is that he has to say to you, and then he'll guide you to the appointed goal that he has for you. When I was that age, I did love the Lord, but I think I could have been a little bit more passionate about who I was supposed to be and a little bit more tuned into what the Spirit of God was saying to me. And if I had, I may have found my purpose just a little bit sooner. God has a purpose for you, and he wants you to walk in that purpose. Jesus is the ultimate man of purpose. Since we're all walking with Jesus, think about how he lived his life. I love the time where Jesus is with his parents in Jerusalem, and then his parents are going to leave, and they're going to go back home, and there's a whole group of people. Jesus is about 12 years old, and after a day or two or three or whatever, they realize, hey, Jesus isn't with us. Can you imagine if we took a trip, and we, a couple of days later, realize, hey, we don't have one of our kids with us? They leave. Where is Jesus? Now, the reality is if you don't know, there would have been a huge caravan of people going from Jerusalem all the way back to their home. And so they figured Jesus was in with somebody else or whatever, but he wasn't. So they end up going back to Jerusalem. They're looking all around for him, and they find him in the temple. And here he is, the 12-year-old guy, instructing the Jewish religious leaders in the law. And they say, Jesus. Now, I'm sure you can't call the Son of God dude, you know. I just can't do that. When I read the scriptures, my mind just puts its own little grid on it. And I see Joseph and Mary saying, dude, you know, what are you doing here in the temple? And Jesus, did you not know that I'm supposed to be about my Father's business, that this is what I was supposed to do? From the time he was 12, he had a purpose in his heart and in his mind. If you think about Jesus interacting with his disciples, he says to them, the Son of God didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many people. He was already focused in on what his purpose was supposed to be. There's a passage of scripture I love. There came a point in time when it says Jesus turned his face like flint toward Jerusalem. Meaning, Jesus knew he had to go to Jerusalem because he had an appointment with crucifixion there, and he was undeterred. He was going to head toward that purpose. That was his appointed goal. He has a purpose that he's living. I think of him in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's praying, and he says to his Heavenly Father, not my will, but your will be done. It's not about my human purpose and what I would like to do in the flesh. It is about your divine purpose, Heavenly Father, for me. Jesus is the ultimate man of purpose. And what does he say to us? After Jesus is crucified and after he is resurrected, before he ascends into heaven, he says to his disciples, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he says, therefore, go. Go find your purpose. Go do what you're supposed to do. And his go is not inward focused. It's not therefore go and get your 401k set and get your house set and all the rest of that stuff. He says, therefore go, make disciples. You are supposed to find your purpose, and it is outward focused. It isn't just about you. It's about touching other people in the world. And when you do that, when you love him first and most, when you find what that particular purpose is, knowing that the gauge of success in that purpose is how many lives you're impacting outside of yourself. When you do that, there is no fulfillment greater than that. There is no better fulfillment than knowing not only that you're doing something that you enjoy, but that there's a legacy that you're leaving behind, that you are touching people for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God is calling us to. So what do we do in this moment? You know, I think Jesus is really challenging us, even with the prophetic word that we heard today, to say, are you really listening to my voice first and foremost? There are a lot of voices that are vying for our attention out there, a lot of them. And they're not all bad voices. Some of them are good voices. But I'm telling you, it is so easy for us to love all kinds of other things, to listen to all kinds of other voices, instead of every day getting up and thinking, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. When we taught the Jesus Creed, Jesus said those words, and it wasn't a prayer when he said it. He was just reciting Old Testament passages to this Jewish religious leader. But I challenge you, just like we were challenged by Scott McKnight, to turn the Jesus Creed into a prayer. That every day when you get up, if you're doing your 20 and 20 like Pastor Sam taught you, every day you get up, let a part of your prayer time be praying the prayer, making it a prayer. God, help me to love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, and to love my neighbor as myself. There is no command greater than these. Let that be the thing, the barometer that sets your day for you.